I know we'd be kind of a smaller crowd today with the women's retreat going on, so that's okay. We will pray and get started. God, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you again for your word and for what it tells us about what the end times will look like. And I just pray that as we examine this together today, that you would help us to keep things in the right perspective, to always look at our word filtered through what your word says about it, and just pray that you would help me to speak truth and be clear today, and we would learn together more of what your word says to us. And we thank you so much for it. We pray this in your name. Amen. Hey, Jude saw my title for my lesson today, and he said, "Mom, you mixed up those words. It's supposed to be the signs of the times, not the times of the signs." So I told him, "I know." But then we had a good conversation. I said, "Because we are living in the times of the signs. Do you know what the signs are? It's very clear that we are living in the times of the signs." So we're taking a little detour this week from the book of Revelation. We're going to examine some of the words of Jesus in the Olivet Discourse and a couple other passages that teach us about the signs of the times. If you were here with us last week, we talked about Revelation 6 and 7. We talked about the seal judgments and the 144,000 witnesses. And right at the end of that lesson, I briefly mentioned that Jesus listed those very same things. He talked about the seal judgments. He talked about, kind of in a veiled way, the 144,000 witnesses. We kind of miss it, though, because it's not called that in the Olivet Discourse. It's not called the seal judgments. But he says the same thing. So you see here in Revelation, we talked about the Antichrist, violence, famine, pestilence, martyrs, earthquakes, terrors in the sky, and the evangelists who will go out to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. And in the Olivet Discourse, Jesus says the same things. And I did a comparison chart at the top of your notes so you can see that. He talks about false Christs, wars, rumors of wars, famines, plagues, persecution, martyrdom, earthquakes, terrors in the sky, the gospel preached to the world. So I thought that was a good time to kind of take that break and talk about the signs. And the Olivet Discourse is the primary teaching that Jesus gave on the signs of the times. It is found in three of the four Gospels. It is his second longest recorded teaching after the Sermon on the Mount. So there are several places we could find it. We're going to go to Mark. Mark chapter 13 is where we're just going to read through it. And we're going to not go necessarily verse by verse through it, but just to reference back to it. And we'll be reading some other passages as well. So Mark chapter 13, starting at verse 1. "And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, 'Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings.' And Jesus said to him, 'Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down.'" So they're talking about the present temple in Jerusalem at that time. Jesus gives a prophecy that this building is going to be torn down so badly that not even one stone will be left upon another. "And he sat down on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately." So this is just a conversation with the four of the disciples. "Tell us when these things will be." Now I'm sure they're referring back to tell us when the temple is going to be destroyed, because this is what Jesus just talked about. "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished." In other places, in the other Gospels, it says, "What is the sign of your coming?" So I think in the disciples' minds, they're putting this together. Like, surely if the temple is destroyed, that must be when Jesus is going to return. Because what, you know, a catastrophic event if the temple is torn, these must be connected. So Jesus gives them their answer. But there's a lot longer time frame in here than the disciples ever imagined. Because the temple was destroyed only about 40 years later, around at 70 AD. If you were here for the Siege of Jerusalem lesson, we talked about how General Titus came in and he destroyed Jerusalem. But Jesus gives them a much more involved answer than just when is the temple going to be torn down, because they asked, when is the sign of your coming? And Jesus, this is verse 5, and Jesus began to say to them, see that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and put them to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to be, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down, nor enter his house to take anything out. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that it may not happen in winter. For in those days there will be such tribulation as has not been from the beginning of creation that God created until now and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, whom he chose, he shortened the days. And then if someone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or look, there he is, do not believe it. False Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard. I have told you all things beforehand. But in those days, after that tribulation, so Jesus is talking here about the end of the 7-year tribulation period. After that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from the heavens, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Here we're going to stop there for now. Jesus gives us a lot of information in there, and we're certainly not going to have time this morning to go through it all. One of the first things that people kind of ask from that passage is a bit of debate amongst some. Is Jesus talking about current day, or is he talking about the future? Because he says to his disciples that they'll be delivered to councils, they'll be beaten in synagogues, they'll stand before governors and kings, and this is what the disciples did. They did all of those things. But then it seems that there are other places where he's not talking about current day, he's talking about the future. So the answer is he's talking about both. And we've mentioned these mountain peaks of prophecy, how in prophecy there can be a partial fulfillment, but later a full fulfillment. Or there can be a near fulfillment and then a future fulfillment. And so Jesus kind of starts out with, here's what you guys will endure personally. But then he's also talking about these general signs that will happen, kind of things that will happen through every age and will increase in intensity and strength and frequency. And then he even gives some specific events that haven't yet happened, but they're going to happen. Now, when it comes to the signs of the times, you get a full spectrum of opinions from believers about what they think about that. So you get one end of the spectrum where some say, don't worry about the signs. I mean, what will be, will be. God's in control. It doesn't really matter if we know what's going to happen or not, because it's going to happen anyway. So you don't really need to pay attention. Don't worry about it. God's got it under control. Then you get the other end of the spectrum. There's almost this subculture of prophecy enthusiasts, and they're almost fanatical about watching for and seeking out the signs. Everything's a sign. They see a sign around every corner. And they have speculations about everything that they see in the news, from political alignments to solar eclipses to insect invasions. Wisdom is found somewhere in the middle, okay? In the middle. We don't ignore the signs, because then we'd be ignoring parts of the Bible. When these four asked Jesus, what are the signs? What is the sign of your coming? What is the sign of the end of the age? You know, a lot of times when the disciples ask questions, they ask the wrong questions. And Jesus would often not answer it, or he'd redirect it. Sometimes he'd even rebuke it if it was clearly the wrong question. But he answers their question. So they're not asking a wrong question. He answers it. In fact, who Jesus did rebuke were the Pharisees and the crowds that lived in his day, because they couldn't see the signs of their own time. He said to the Pharisees in Matthew 16, you know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. He said to the crowds in Luke 12, you hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And what Jesus was saying there is that they had missed the signs of the first coming. There were so many signs given in the Old Testament of the first coming of the Messiah, they completely missed it because they weren't paying attention, they didn't know. God has given us signs so that we can understand the times in which we live and we can respond with wisdom and discernment to those things. So before we get into talking about specific signs, I just have some principles. Again, all my lists, I'm sure, are not exhaustive, but things that I've come up with. Principles for understanding the signs of the end times. So one of the first things to understand is that all prophetic signs point to the tribulation and or the second coming. That's what goes in your blanks. They point to the tribulation or the second coming. We talked about this briefly in our message about the rapture. That, you know, as soon as Halloween is over, and sometimes before Halloween is even over, there's all kinds of signs for Christmas, right? The Christmas trees show up, and the decorating, and the lights, and everything is coming, and we see that Christmas is coming. They're pointing to Christmas. But we know Thanksgiving comes first. They're not signs of Thanksgiving, but we know Thanksgiving's coming. So the signs that God has given us in His Word, they're for the tribulation, they're for the second coming. But we can see, as those signs are growing, that the rapture has to happen first. So clearly, that is coming closer and closer. And there are things that I call general signs. Things like war, natural disasters, famines, things that aren't new to the history of man. They've always been around. They're general signs, but these are the things that are going to grow in strength and intensity. Then there are also specific signs, signs that have happened, like when Jesus talked about the destruction of the temple. That was a very clear sign of prophecy. Or things that haven't happened yet but will, like he talked about the abomination of desolation, which will happen during the tribulation. And we've mentioned that event a few times in our other lessons. So there are many specific signs. They're not happening yet. But every single general sign that we have from the Bible is happening right now on our planet today. But keep in mind, Jesus said these are birth pains. Any of us here who have given birth, we know what that's like. It ramps up fast. Starts slow, but ramps up. So we are not at the birth yet. We are not at the main event yet. And that is why, number two, we need to be very careful, we've talked about this too, believing or claiming that modern day events are the fulfillment of specific Bible prophecies. Because while these events may fit descriptions of general prophecies, like natural disasters, pandemics, conflicts, they are setting the stage. That's for your blank there. They are setting the stage for the tribulation. And in the tribulation is where we're going to see the ultimate fulfillment of all of those general signs, where they will reach their climax. Third principle, every piece of prophecy must fit together perfectly. And it will take time for the entire picture to come together. Every piece must fit. Jesus had to fulfill every single prophecy. There were hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament about the first coming of Jesus. He had to match up with all of them. Born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin from the line of David, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. His bones were not broken when he died. He was buried in a rich man's tomb. So many. He had to fulfill them all. And in the same way, every end times prophecy must fit. I think a good example of this would be Hitler. There are a lot of people who thought, and there might be even a few yet today, who think he was, or at the time certainly thought he was, the Antichrist. And you look at him and you think, well, man, he's European. He's charismatic and persuasive. He's a powerful world leader. He has this swastika. That could be the sign of the beast. He certainly hates the Jews. I mean, the guy ticked a lot of the boxes for the Antichrist. But he did not rise out of a coalition of 10 world leaders. He did not sign a peace treaty with Israel, because Israel didn't exist. He did not desecrate the temple during the abomination of desolation, because there's still no temple. He did not set up a one world government. You gotta tick every box. We cannot finish the puzzle without all the pieces. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't work with the ones we've got. That's what we're talking about today. The signs are like puzzle pieces, showing us what the end times world is going to look like. And some of those pieces we have, and they're already fit into the picture, like the rebirth of Israel. They're there. It's in the puzzle. Some pieces we have, and they're definitely going to be part of the picture, but we don't yet know how they're going to fit. Like, all the technology we're seeing today, they certainly fit into end times. We don't exactly know how that's all going to play out, but we know it's part of it. But then there are other puzzle pieces that we're simply not going to have, at least not before the rapture. And that's why I say it's not going to come together before the rapture. There are certain things that will not happen before then, like the identity of the Antichrist. We will not know who he is. So stop trying to figure it out. This is what the Bible tells us. We'll get to that a little bit later. Principle number 4, some alleged signs are not connected to Bible prophecy at all, but instead are the result of unfounded speculation, sensationalism, or having an improper understanding of Scripture. Blood moons, planetary alignments, numerology experts cracking codes, even alien sightings. It gets a little crazy out there with some of the things that people are talking about when they talk about the signs of the times. You know, and just one example I thought of, very modern day example, was the COVID vaccine. There were so many claiming that the COVID vaccine was the mark of the beast. But if you know your Bible, you know it doesn't tick the boxes. So just shake your head and move on. Like, you don't have to buy into it. The COVID vaccine was not the mark of the beast. It was not implemented by a world dictator. In some places, it did limit who could buy and sell as far as who could, like you couldn't go into a restaurant at some point, certain places, if you didn't have your card, right? And that was freaking some people out. But you could still buy and sell. You weren't banned from every place of business if you didn't have the vaccine. It certainly didn't involve, you know, taking the vaccine didn't involve worshiping anybody as God. It also didn't involve the death penalty. But the mark of the beast will involve all those things. So it wasn't the vaccine, right? So there's some of these things, and this is why I make the point here on your notes, read your Bible more than you read the headlines. I'm not saying you shouldn't keep up on current events. What I'm telling you is that you need to know the Bible first. Because if you know the Bible first, it will save you from falling into a lot of these speculative, sensationalized nonsense that's out there. Because the Bible already tells us that that's the case, or not the case, whatever it may be. And our fifth principle, and this is just kind of my personal sort of rule of thumb, take it or leave it, whatever you want to do, But my opinion regarding Bible prophecy and current events, a good rule of thumb is to pump the brakes. Pump the brakes. You know, I have a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot, but I sometimes have conversations just knowing that I teach this class and kind of grew up in a prophecy family a little bit. People that will come and say, did you see this on the news? Do you think that's this in the Bible? Or did you see this happening? Do you think that this is what it was talking about, that's here? And, you know, I'm not saying that those are wrong questions to ask. We're having a whole lesson about this. We're supposed to pay attention to the signs. But you need to study your Bible. You need to talk to trusted believers, our pastors, our elders, people who know the Bible well. When you see these things happening around you, don't get ahead of yourself, and certainly don't get ahead of God. Because while we are seeing every general sign today, we simply don't know how it's all going to shake out. So just pump the brakes a little bit and approach it with wisdom and discernment rather than just seeing a post on social media or a news story and just thinking that, you know, all of a sudden all these things are happening. Okay, so what are the signs? The super sign is, class, please tell me what the super sign is. Israel, thank you. Somebody listened to my list. Thank you, Cammie was here. Israel. Oops. I didn't get that one. Israel. Israel is the super sign. We had a whole lesson on it. If you missed it, I can give you the notes on it. You can go back and listen to it. Israel. I can't emphasize enough that you've got to have Israel in existence in order for the tribulation and the end time prophecies to take place. Of all the signs that are going on, this is the flashing neon in your face sign that the world is marching ever closer to the end times. Because Israel is back. They are in the land. They are a nation. Okay, spiritual signs. Rapture. It's an event. It's also a sign. And as we've talked about, the rapture is next man up. As far as the next thing that's on the prophetic calendar, rapture. And when the rapture does happen, I feel like it will likely dethrone the rebirth of Israel as the super sign. Because when the rapture happens, it's like God has just posted a sign for everyone who gets left behind on the earth that says, "Welcome to the end times." Don't be here to see that sign. Another sign, one of our few good signs, is that the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth. The church is to be about that job now. As Jesus told us in the Great Commission, that's our job. But it will be fully completed during the tribulation. We talked a little bit about last week, about the witnesses, 144,000. And we'll come up to it too in Revelation, about two witnesses and even an angel in the sky that will proclaim the gospel to all people on the planet. A third sign is the persecution and martyrdom of believers. Since the church was born, these things have happened, but the greatest time is yet to come of the most martyrs, the harshest persecution. It is yet to come. We talked about that a little bit last week, too, with the fifth seal, which was martyrs in heaven. Our next sign fits, our next couple, but the next one fits very well with the sermon this morning. If you go to second service, if you haven't been there yet, false prophets, teachers, and Christ. Ladies, there are no prophets today. Don't buy it. There are no prophets who are gaining new revelation to be proclaimed to the church. We have the entire revelation of God in our hands. There are no prophets. False teachers might be a little harder to spot, but these are people that are preaching false doctrine and compromising the truth. And we're seeing this in all kinds of churches, and denominations are being split because people are being told things like the Bible is not inerrant. They're teaching wrong things about the roles of women in the church. They're okay with things like homosexuality and transgender, and even those people being leaders within the church. churches that are teaching there's no literal six-day creation, false teachers. And also there are false Christs who are going to be claiming to be the one sent from heaven, that they're going to be the one to save humanity. And of course that culminates in the Antichrist, when most of the world will buy that he is God. Turn to 2 Thessalonians with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul lays out some end time stuff for us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seemingly to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. So these people were concerned that they'd missed the tribulation and the day of the Lord was there. The tribulation was happening. And Paul's like, pump the brakes. You did not miss the rapture. We're not in the tribulation. Verse 3, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come. The tribulation, the day of the Lord, will not come until the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now is that you know what is restraining him now so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one. Again, this lawless one, man of lawlessness, this is a reference to the Antichrist. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Again, ton of stuff in there that we can't go through at all. But one of the signs of the end times, number 5 on your sheets, is strong delusion. And this goes hand in hand with number 6, which is apostasy. And apostasy can be defined as rebellion or abandonment of the truth. In verse 3, in the ESV, it calls it the rebellion. Some places, some versions, it's abandonment. Some versions, it says falling away. Falling away from the truth. You know, God, throughout the ages, he's always urging people to accept the truth. But it is possible for people to harden their hearts to the point that eventually God also hardens their hearts and turns them over to a deluded mind. Read Romans chapter 1 if you want to see how that whole process goes. And it should be utterly terrifying to think that we can actually get to a point when God will say, fine, have it your way. The end times will be a complete rejection of God and even further falling away of an already fallen world. And the deterioration of society is really going to hit the accelerator with the sign that's mentioned in verse 7, which is a sign we've already talked about. It's just not called that. He's talking about the rapture. Because in verse 7, he talks about the one who now restrains will do so until he is out of the way. What's that referring to? Well, it's kind of two things, really. Ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit, but it's also the Holy Spirit working through the church. So when the rapture happens, the restrainer is removed. The Holy Spirit through the church is removed, which is as bad as the world seems today, we are keeping back the tide of evil, standing for the truth. The Holy Spirit in the hearts of men and working through the church to keep back the tsunami of evil that could pour over this world. And once we are removed at the rapture, there is nothing anymore standing in the way of the entire world throwing all morality out the window. And while things will be far worse in the end times, I believe that we are seeing even now the foreshadowing of delusion and apostasy. Now, granted, there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, sin has existed since the fall, and we haven't come up with a whole lot of new ways to sin. It's always kind of been around. But what is kind of unprecedented anymore is the scope of it. Just the scope of sin and how we're just making it okay and everybody's even cheering it on. And we're demanding, or when I say we, I mean society. Society is demanding that everybody cater to their delusions, are they not? I mean, just one example. Not only can a child now identify as an opposite gender or even an animal, but there are parents in California who are losing custody of their kids because they're not affirming their child's mental illness. It's just insanity. Our society has systematically abandoned God's truth, so the result is that we are now living in days of strong delusion. And we see that everywhere, don't we? It's just crazy. Delusion and apostasy. Another sign will be the revealing of the Antichrist. We saw that in verse 8. Verse 7 talks about the restrainer being removed. And then verse 8 says, then the lawless one, the Antichrist, then he will be revealed. So don't bother listening to claims of those who say they know who the Antichrist is. No, they don't. They don't. And they won't until after the rapture happens. Now, I'm not saying he might be alive today. He might be a public figure today. But we can't point to him and say, that's the Antichrist. We don't know that. And nobody will until the rapture happens. So just don't bother. Another spiritual sign of the end times is obsession with demons. Oh, I'm skipping my slides. This is for false teachers. There's a reference on that. We don't want to hear sound doctrine anymore. We just want our ears tickled. Anyway, I'm really behind. So, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons. In 2023, there was a Grammy awarded to the best duo performance. It was, I don't know the names of the artists, I don't really care to know, but their performance was called Unholy. And they even performed it at the Grammys. You can see the horns on his hat, right? Awarded for it, best performance, duo performance of the year. In 2021, there's a rapper named Lil. I have to put Lil in front of all their names. I don't know. Lil. He's Lil Nas X. And this dude decided that he was going to launch Satan shoes. They featured a pentagram, an inverted cross, and each pair of shoe had a drop of real human blood in it. He wanted to sell 666 pairs of these shoes. That's how many he had. They were priced at $1,018 a pair. And once they got put out online, they sold out in less than a minute. That's staggering. In December of 2023, so just a couple months ago, a satanic display was included amongst the Christmas displays in a state capitol, you know, because we all have to have the right of our religion, right? So if other Christmas displays have theirs, we get to have ours. It was displayed in a state capitol. Anybody know what state? Iowa. Yeah. right here in Iowa. Though apparently it was decapitated by an ex-Navy guy. Way to go. He turned himself in for destruction of public property, but I like that guy. You know, ladies, and I don't show these things to gross you out. I mean, there's certainly worse out there. But my point here in showing you this is that it just used to be that our society as a whole would condemn these things, right? I mean, Satanism has always been around. But what once had to be done in the dark is now being done in broad daylight and being celebrated. And our world is being groomed to normalize and accept and celebrate demonic evil that will absolutely run rampant during the tribulation. I'll take those pictures down because daughters of the light don't want to look at that garbage. The next signs are in the natural world. I just had those filled in because we're not going to spend a lot of time here. We talked a lot about that last week, and we will next week. Natural disasters, earthquakes, hailstones, scorching heat, volcanoes, storms, floods, wildfires, and also things like famines, plagues and pestilence. Does COVID ring a bell for anybody? We're seeing that ramp up. Cosmic disturbances. You sometimes hear talk about solar flares and different things that are going on out in space. And even unusual animal behavior. Do you remember the murder hornets a couple of years ago? You know, there's sometimes those stories make the news. So while all of those things are happening, again, they're happening today, but they're going to reach their climax during the 21 judgments of Revelation. And we've already been through seven of them with the seals. But, I mean, we do see this when the news reports, especially on these natural disasters, it seems like the headlines include things like record-breaking, once-in-a-lifetime, unprecedented, apocalyptic, of biblical proportions. I mean, do you remember the bomb cyclone? I didn't know that was a thing. Do you remember that when it buried all those cows in Nebraska? That was what it was called, right? The bomb cyclone? Are you guys with me? Anybody? You guys don't remember the bomb cyclone? You'll have to Google that. But that front that came through that in Nebraska, they were trying to get their cows out from under the snow because it came through so quickly and they were dying. It's just, you know, there are crazy things happening in the natural world. And I think that has been part of the contributing to the cult, because it is a cult, of climate change. Certainly there are those who are part of the climate change world that they have their own agenda. They're using it for power. They're using it for money. They're using it for fame. They're using it to control people out of fear, really. But I feel sorry for the people who are genuinely scared, because there's a lot of people who are genuinely scared about climate change. And they feel like, you know, mankind is doomed because of all these physical changes that are happening in the world, and they're scared because they think that this planet is their only hope. And they don't know what we know, how the world is really going to end. And it's not ultimately going to be because of carbon emissions, but because even creation is groaning for the return of its creator. Because our current creation was not designed to last for forever. Isaiah 51:6 says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens, look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment." Those of us getting older, we know what it feels like, because we feel like we're wearing out like a garment. Well, the earth is too. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll move on to the signs, the cultural and societal signs. Second Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. Wow, did Paul live in 2024? Seems like he's describing us, right? Our first sign, deteriorating moral character. And we see this all over our society. You know, I work very part-time in the public school, and I one time had one of the principals ask me if I'd go through the certification so I could substitute as a teacher. I'm only an aide or in the office or in the libraries, but asked if I could be a substitute teacher. And I just laughed at him. I said, "Oh, Steve, I'd be arrested for homicide on day one. I can't handle these kids. So disrespectful." I mean, my hat is off to those believers who are in the public school. Amen and hallelujah, and I'm praying for you, because it's crazy. And, you know, so many I hear say, you know, kids have just changed. Kids have changed. Can't handle them anymore. I disagree with that. I mean, at the core, kids and really all humans haven't changed. They're who they have always been. Society has changed. Parenting has changed. The definition of family has changed. And, I mean, family really is the building blocks of society, and this is where moral character should be developed. And, I mean, these kids come from, it just breaks your heart to hear what some of these kids are dealing with, and how in the world can they even have a moral compass? Each generation takes increasingly larger steps to abandon the truth of God, and then they become characterized by these qualities that Paul wrote here, and then it spills out in even greater measure to the next generation, and then to the next generation, and then to the next generation. I'm not meaning to make it sound like, oh, it was just so, it's not the good old days anymore. It was so perfect in the good old days. No, there's never been perfect days except for the Garden of Eden for a little while. But again, we're talking about the scope, the breadth, the scale of sin is so much bigger now, because we have fewer and fewer standing for truth and more who are abandoning it. And this applies to all of these other societal signs. The second one, violence. We talked about it last week. It's only going to get worse the closer we get to the end. There, honestly, there's not a lot of headlines that shock me a whole lot anymore. But I was shocked by this one this week. Haiti is a disaster. I mean, that country is just falling apart at the seams. And I saw this headline. Haiti cannibal gang are eating people they've killed on the streets as violence erupts. It's crazy. Number three is ethnic or racial conflict. And we kind of miss this maybe in the Olivet Discourse, but Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse, this is from the Matthew version, it says, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." But the word there is the word ethnos, which means ethnicity or people group. Are we not seeing that today? Ethnicity against ethnicity. We have all kinds of new phrases in our vocabulary now. Things like critical race theory, wokeism, systemic racism, social justice, white privilege. Now it's settler colonization. Have you heard about that? All these, you know, like all of us who aren't Native Americans should get out because we came and colonized. Everybody who went and colonized it, like, you need to pull out. I'm not sure where all these people are supposed to go then. And it's crazy. And really the bottom line of all this stuff is that certain people don't have to be held accountable for their actions. Because if you can show that you're an oppressed person, if you fit the oppressed category, then you have a pass. Because you're inherently good regardless of your personal behavior. And if you fit the oppressor category, you're inherently bad regardless of your personal behavior. And we're erasing this worldview of right versus wrong, of good versus evil, of taking personal responsibility for our actions. Because now we can hold someone accountable for, you know, for crimes that were committed by their ethnicity hundreds of years ago. But someone else doesn't need to be held accountable for their crime that they just personally committed yesterday. Because they're the oppressed. And this is why we can have things. These were flyers in New York City in reference to the attack that happened in Israel on October 7th. Babies are occupiers too. We talked, babies were decapitated. They were burned. Babies were raped on that day. Free Palestine by any means necessary. Also, men, women, boys, girls were raped on that day. Free Palestine. But they're saying that's excusable. That's okay. Because we're the oppressed. And so by any means necessary, we can do. They're the colonizers. We're just getting our land back. So we are justified in our actions. And the stage is undoubtedly being set for people, I mean, it's already laid out, for people to hate each other just based on skin color or ethnicity. Another sign, sexual deviance. We talked about that last week. We don't need to say a whole lot about that. All you had to do is turn on the news. But we are obviously being groomed in those things. We have got men and women sports. We've got pride parades. We have drag queen story hour in kindergarten. That is also connected with the fifth sign, which is human trafficking. We hear a lot more about that now, right, than we ever did before. Not that it's a new thing again. It's always existed. But it's growing and growing and growing. Likely in the tribulation, it will come to the point where people don't even have to hide it. We'll see that later in Revelation. Black market industries of pornography, human trafficking, and then another one there is drug use. Revelation talks about that too. It's that these things used to have to be done in the dark, and now they don't. The recurring theme here is that sin used to inspire guilt and shame. And even if it didn't, even if somebody was so callous that it didn't, at least it inspired outrage in society. So you better hide it, or there's going to be consequences for some of these things. And now we just, it's more and more desensitization, normalization, accepting and celebrating these things by the majority of society. And the bottom line is, of all these societal and cultural signs, the bottom line is hate. People hate the truth. People hate each other. People hate God. Jesus talked about that in the Olivet Discourse. He says, then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Technological signs. There are many Bible prophecies that point to the technology necessary in order for certain events to happen. Daniel 12:4 says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. The end times will be characterized by greatly increased travel and knowledge. We certainly see that. I really like this book, the Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times. It's kind of a question and answer format, so it's kind of nice, and it has pictures, so that's always fun. But he says here about technology, nuclear weaponry, satellite and internet broadcasting, massive data centers, DNA manipulation, artificial intelligence, surveillance systems, transhumanism, cashless digital currency, and many other current and emerging technologies are described in Bible prophecy or are logically necessary for end times events to occur. Today, every technology needed to fulfill end times prophecies exists. All of this has come to pass within the past century or so. In a relatively short period of time, we've gone from riding horses to traveling to the moon, from knowing little about biological design to mapping DNA. Surely we live in the time Daniel prophesied. Also, I put there the connectedness of the internet. Not that the internet itself is predicted in the Bible, but again, this is what has helped to spread sin so much, because there is social contagion to sin. Like, I don't think we'd have nearly as many saying they're transgender if we didn't have the internet. But you can post your video on the internet and people are like, oh, that looks cool. Maybe I'll try that too. So the internet has made this so that sin is just spreading and spreading and spreading like a cancer because we are so much more connected with each other. Also, the internet and TV will allow the entire world, to witness some of these events of the end times in real time, because it says the whole world will see it. Well, before it was like, how could the whole world see this? It's something happening in Jerusalem. How can the whole world see this? Well, now they can. You just have to pull out your phone. Also, we are moving towards a cashless society. And, of course, they're selling that to us because it's more convenient, it's safer, more secure, it helps to not spread germs, all these kinds of things. But we also know that when we're a cashless society, they can track every single transaction, and they can even cut you off from your money if they don't like you. If you don't adhere to what they want you to adhere to, then you don't get your money anymore. And that's the direction we are certainly going. Also, Mark of the Beast technology. Again, I'll quote this book. Says, in order for this event, so the Mark of the Beast, in order for this event to occur as described in God's Word, an unprecedented merge of several technologies must be developed and implemented globally. This system must merge biometrics, a biological embedded tracking system, a cashless digital currency, a global database, and super processing systems run by artificial intelligence. All of these technologies currently exist and are being integrated on an ever-broadening scale. So these things can now happen, things that before could not have happened because we didn't have the technology. Geopolitical signs. We see the prophesied alliance for the Battle of Gog and Magog. This is a war that's going to happen. Ezekiel tells us about it. It's an attack on Israel, and God will save them supernaturally. There's a lot of details in that prophecy. We're going to have a whole Sunday school on it, a whole week on Gog and Magog, so I'm not going to get into much of it right now. But we do know in that prophecy that Russia is going to lead the charge against Israel, and they will be joined by Iran and Turkey, along with some other minor players. There's also going to be some countries that are notably not involved, or they protest this invasion. And the bottom line is that the countries that attack Israel, in Ezekiel's prophecy, are the ones that hate Israel today, and they're the ones who are aligned with each other today. And the countries that oppose this invasion, or at least aren't involved, are either friendly towards, or at least not aggressive towards, Israel today. This stage is set right now. The political and the military alliances that need to exist for this invasion are right now. Now, this event is hard to place on the timeline. Some people put it before the rapture. Some people put it in the little space between the rapture and before the tribulation happens with the peace treaty. Some put it in the first half of the tribulation. Some put it at the end of the tribulation. Some put it at the beginning of the millennial kingdom. And some put it at the end of the millennial kingdom. And we'll talk about that a lot more in that Sunday school that I mentioned. My personal opinion, if I had to place my bet, I'd put it in one of these two places. And part of my reason for that is that it's set now. Now, that doesn't mean those things can't come together in the future. It's just interesting. Also, another sign is increased government control. We watched, especially during COVID, how a major global shift took place in implementing government control. And we saw how quickly most of the population is ready to hand over their freedom in exchange for security and safety. It's for their own good. And we're normalizing this idea that the government gets to say who does what, where, and when, and under what circumstances, and that's certainly going to be the government of the Antichrist. We also see the decline of the United States. Again, this one isn't specifically predicted in the Bible, but why I list it here is because the United States, or the West, obviously it's not going to say United States, but the West is not mentioned at all. We're not a player in the end times. We're simply not. not there. And I'm hoping to have a whole Sunday of like United States and where we're going and what's our role and that kind of, I don't know, I'll see how it plays out. So we might talk about that more in the future. But we see right now we have weak leadership. Our support is waning for Israel. And we have, speaking of delusions, we have Americans advocating for communism. This is a parade in New York. Revolutionary Communists of America, we want our nation to be communists. And we see this more and more. People want this. They're asking for it. It's crazy. Delusion. So along with that, we see this global power shift. And number four, we're seeing the emergence of Far Eastern superpowers. Because the Bible does tell us about them. The Bible talks about the kings of the East. And that also leads to number five, which is international interests and unified efforts towards globalism. And at first blush, that seems like not a really bad idea. You know, what's so bad about being unified across national lines for the good of all people? We'd have common laws, a common language, common currency. It would make traveling easier. Be a citizen of the world, not of a nation. Because nationalism draws boundaries and it divides people and it creates differences that inevitably cause wars and conflicts. But we can all work together to contribute to society. We'll all be equal. The wealth will be redistributed evenly amongst the masses, at least in theory. But globalism is a form of socialism, and if you know history, you know that type of system will never work. It has never worked. It will never work. It will never work. But generally speaking, the Western world is more about individualism and freedom, while the East is more about the collective community and conformity. And so the Western world, with the United States as its leader, at least we have historically been the leader, we are faltering, but the Western world then must be conquered, or it must implode upon itself, or it must surrender its power. I don't know how it's going to go down, but it will. So, ladies, just remind yourselves, your citizenship is in heaven. I love America, and it breaks my heart to see some of the places we're going. But my citizenship is in heaven. Traditional Western ideologies of freedom and capitalism, those simply have to die in order for the world of the Antichrist to rise. If you want to know more kind of about New World Order, just things that are happening and going on, here's some books I recommend to you because we run out of time. This is called Global Reset by Mark Hitchcock and Jeff Kinley. And this one's called Aftershocks, Christians Entering a New Era of Global Crisis, also by Jeff Kinley. Those are insightful. Oh, man, how does the time go so fast? Also, the rise of worldwide Semitism. And, of course, we're seeing that. We talked about that in our lesson of Israel. This was a headline just this week. In England, it says London is now a no-go zone for Jews. They don't want Jews there because it's just causing problems and violence. And so they're just advising that Jews just stay out because it's better if you do. And also a revived Roman Empire. We talked about that in our Daniel lesson. And that is an empire that's coming. It's made up of strong and weak nations. The European Union could certainly be that, or at least that in its infancy. Again, that's where we'd pump the brakes a little bit and see how that plays out. But that certainly could be going towards that. Also, a specific sign is the abomination of desolation. That's a sign that will happen midway through the tribulation. That's a sign for those who will be living on the earth at the time. A sign that says, if you are anywhere near Jerusalem, get out of Dodge, because it's all about to go down. And you don't want to be there. So that's another sign. I'm hoping next week, and I have a little time to wrap this up more the way I want to. But for now, let me just say, these signs are all coming together. I didn't list them all up here, But think of it as a multi-lane highway. And these signs are telling us that this multi-lane highway is funneling. And it's getting down to one lane. It's coming. They're all converging. Now again, pump the brakes. That's not to say if I were a betting person and somebody said to me, place your bet. Is the rapture happening under or over 30 years from now? I would bet under, personally. It'd be a really stupid bet to make, because if I'm right, I'm not here to collect the money, and if I'm wrong, I got to pay up. So I'm not making that bet. But it's not necessarily that soon. Even though signs are converging, they could unconverge, and then God could make them converge again. You know, we wouldn't be the first generation of believers who realize that there's kind of this period of history we didn't expect, or it goes a little longer than we thought it would. But really the point is, you want to get off this highway and there is an exit sign and you need to be ready for it. You need to be ready. Man. Bottom line. And this just kind of hits me a little bit. I went to a funeral yesterday. And, you know, we have some events in the community that are just a reminder to me that life is short. And you don't know what's going on in somebody's life. And we don't know when the rapture will happen. We don't know when we will die. We don't know when a friend or someone we know who needs the Lord might die. We need to be ready. We need to be alert. We need to be paying attention. I was going to read 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. Write it down. Read 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. It talks about we don't need to be surprised about these things. Yes, we'll be surprised in the sense that we don't know when the rapture is going to hit. You know, we can't pinpoint a date. But we don't need to be surprised in the sense that we know it's coming. We know these things are happening. We know how it ends. But we need to be about the business of telling other people how they can get off this highway. That is only through faith in Jesus. Be ready, because it's coming. And I think it's coming sooner than a lot of Christians might think it is. I did not wrap this up very well because I just ran out of time, but, you know, that's no surprise. God, we just pray that help us to be alert. Help us to be awake. Help us to pay attention. And help us to be motivated that you would find us faithful, that were we to die tomorrow, if the rapture happens tomorrow, that you would find each one of us faithful in what we are doing and how we are living, and that we would also have renewed motivation and hearts to share the good news with the people around us who so desperately need it, because it's the only way to avoid this highway taking us very quickly to the tribulation, and we don't want them to be here for that. And I just pray that you would help us to be women who honor you and who love you and who serve you and who want other people to know these things. We pray this in your name. Amen. Next week, seven trumpets, Revelation 8 and 9. If you have the Sarfati book, I think that's chapter 9. That you can read, it's in your notes.